From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Sensitive to Warning. The text is found in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Many despise warning and perish. Happy is he who trembles at the word of God. Josiah did so, and he was spared the sight of the evil which the Lord determined to send upon Judah because of her great sins. Have you this tenderness? Do you practice this self-humiliation? Then you also shall be spared in the evil day. God sets a mark upon the men that sigh and cry because of the sin of the times. The destroying angel is commanded to keep his sword in its sheath till the elect of God are sheltered. These are best known by their godly fear and their trembling at the word of the Lord. Are the times threatening? Do popery and infidelity advance with great strides? And do you dread national chastisement upon this polluted nation? Well, you may. Yet rest in this promise. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. Better still, the Lord himself may come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended.
For my sin he was wounded, for my guilt crucified, for my debt paid a ransom, for my straying he died, for my acts of rebellion, for my deeds
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the Gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Thank you. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a message entitled, The Love of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, in which the Apostle Paul is requesting prayer for himself. He makes this request for the love of the Spirit. Dr. Cairns has been seeking to answer the question, what is the love of the Spirit to which Paul refers? There are several possibilities, each of which contains great encouragement for God's people. One view is that this is the witness of God's Spirit to the hearts of believers that God loves them. Also, it could refer to the Spirit's own love for Christians. Then, this love of the Spirit could mean the Christian's love for the Holy Ghost. A fourth possibility is that this refers to the love the Spirit gives to believers. For as Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the greatest gift of the Spirit is love. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, the love of the Spirit.
The love that we have for God the Father and for God the Son must never be greater than our love for God the Holy Spirit. It is a basic point of Christian theology that the unity of the Godhead is indivisible. If that is so, as it is, then we ought to love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost with the same love. Then, of course, this love of the Spirit is the love which He gives to Christians. It's the love that He imparts to them for Christ, for Christ's people, for Christ's work, for the souls of men and women. I suppose more commentators take this meaning out of our text than any other, and with some justification. The love of the Spirit is the love which He imparts. It's His gift to God's people. It's very interesting that it's His best gift. Last time we looked at the person and work of the Holy Spirit, we were thinking of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians for a minute and just see how this is worked out. Chapter 12 speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, right? We dealt with that in some detail last Lord's Day morning. Now at the end of chapter 12, covet earnestly the best gifts, verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 13 goes on to give you that more excellent way, which is the love of the Spirit. It is the love which the Spirit creates within the heart of the believer. And now through to chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity. The same word, love. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Now, see how it's built up here. Here are the gifts of the Spirit. Paul says, make sure you covet the best gifts. But here's a better way. Here is something superior to any other single gift. And it is the gift of the Spirit giving His people love. First for Christ. Second for the church of God. Third, for the souls of men. This is His gift. Strange to me. Yet it shouldn't be, I suppose, for all our hearts are guilty of this. That we want the spectacular. Sometimes, on a Sunday morning, I don't know whether it's for light relief or just to show me how foolish people can become or whatever, but there is a radio station, I don't even know where it is or what it is, it's somewhere in this area, and it carries a a program of a church service from some place near Colombia. It's a black charismatic church. And I listen in now and again, mostly because the preacher doesn't do his own Bible reading. He has a man stand up, and he reads, and then he stops him, and they're running over the top of each other. He reads, and he comments, he reads, and he comments, and then he says, read me John 1. And he starts, and he says, no, I mean 1 John 1. And so he goes over, and it all becomes rather mixed up. I have never heard the like of it in Northern Ireland, even in a charismatic type setup. So it was rather interesting. I do this from time to time. As I listen to them, and indeed to others, I find an emphasis on the spectacular. He wanted this morning to have his people understand that God wanted them to have the gift of tongues. He was on and on about tongues. The amount of biblical exposition he gave on tongues was minus about 100%. Far, far away from getting to what the Bible taught at all. I have known people who don't look for that, but my, I've known people, and especially preachers, and they're looking for a spectacular gift of preaching and spectacular success in their ministry of preaching. I do believe that every preacher should pray and labor to be the best possible preacher he can be. But isn't it interesting that through all the emphasis on this gift or the other gift, there is very little emphasis on the greatest gift that the Holy Ghost can give to a believer, the gift of love. So that we have people who can preach and being filled with the Holy Ghost and they can divide the body of Christ. We have people who can preach and being filled with the Holy Ghost and people who can talk about spectacular success in their ministries. And yet, if you don't dot every I and cross every T of their peculiar little theological system, they'll end up cursing you, shooting at you from every angle and direction. It's a frequent criticism of the fundamentalist movement that they have no love. I don't think that's a true criticism, because I think that there is, in any man who loves Christ and loves the Bible, a degree of love that we should never, never play down. Nonetheless, I think we have got to take the weight of the criticism. It's a scandal today that fundamental churches are divided and fighting people who are standing for Jesus Christ. And there certainly is not the evidence of the love of the Spirit that there ought to be. This is the meaning there. What is the love of the Spirit? Very quickly, what does it do? How does it operate? Well, first of all, staying in 1 Corinthians, it inspires the use of every other gift. I want you to see this, that the love of the Spirit is the breath of life in the operation of every other gift. Without this, preaching is but a corpse. Without this, the body of the church with all its activity is but a sham. 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels, people want the gift of tongues. Paul says here, look, were it possible to speak with the tongues of angels, were it possible to speak with every language known to man, if I don't have this inspiring, life-giving gift of the love of the Spirit, I'm just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I have the gift of knowledge and understand all mystery and all knowledge, if I have that gift of miraculous faith, don't forget Paul is writing in the time when the miracles were fully operative in the church. If I could even through faith remove a mountain. Have not this prime gift of the love of the Spirit, I am nothing. If I'm generous to the extent of giving all my goods to feed the poor, if I'm courageous to the extent of giving my body to be burned as a martyr for Jesus Christ, and yet if I have not this gift of the Spirit's love, it profiteth me nothing. I want you to get what Paul is saying here. What does this prime gift of the love of the Spirit do? It inspires, it enlivens, it validates the use of every other spiritual gift. Without this, our confession, our practice, Christianity is zero. What do you think of that? How does it work? It motivates us to pray one for another. Paul says, I beseech you, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together in your prayers to God for me. The love of the Spirit. Whether you take that as God's love for us, our love for God, or the God-like love that we are given by the Spirit for others, the argument is the same. It motivates us to pray one for another. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And how best can you bear the burden of another believer but to bear it up to God in prayer, to shoulder the burden, the onus of that Christian's position? So often, we pray one for another just because somebody has put us in a corner and said, will you pray for this? We pray to clear our conscience. When you have a love of the Spirit, when you feel the Spirit's love for a brother in need, when you sit where they sit, your heart is crushed as their heart is crushed. And in the secret place before God, day by day, you lift them up before the throne of God's grace and prayer. That's the working of the love of the Spirit. Then it gives us a true burden for the work of God. Again, that's clear in our text. Paul is beseeching them to have an interest in his work as he goes up to Jerusalem. To have a real interest in that work. He's writing to people far removed from Jerusalem. It's usual, you know, that we have a great burden for the work that we are involved in. I've sometimes thought, and there are two ways of looking at this. First of all, when as a minister I am in place A, it's natural and I think it's a godly thing that I should have a greater interest in the work there than any place else. When I was in Ballymoney, there was no place on earth that I prayed more for than Ballymoney and my work in Ballymoney. I think that was part of the call of God. When God moved me out of Ballymoney, I still have an interest in the work there and would delight to hear of revival there. But there would be something wrong if I were praying more for the ministry in Ballymoney than I were for the ministry in Greenville. So it's natural on the one hand that with the call of God to a certain place, you're going to pray more for that place. But then I thought, isn't it strange? And I condemn myself here. Isn't it strange that people whose names I lifted up before God day by day and prayed over them and over their families, though they knew nothing about it. While I was among them, should be forgotten for the most part. to be replaced by others. Sometimes I have wondered, is my burden for the work of God my burden for my work because I'm in it? Is there a degree of pride or self, Lord, do something for me because I'm here? Is it my presence that must be the most important thing? Would the love of the Spirit not really lead us higher to realize that it's God's work? Lord, bless it because it's your work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.